welcome back to another episode of Data Protection Gumbo. I am your host, Demetrius Malbro, and today I have a fantastic guest lined up. I have Candida Valois, who is the America's field CTO at Scality. Candida, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Demetrius, for having me here today.
All right. Everyone is talking about ransomware these days, and we're going to jump right in and also dispel some of the myths around ransomware and how do you protect against some of those attacks, and also you recover from those attacks as well. So one thing I want to ask you about is on the immutable storage side, everyone's talking about if you have immutable storage, you're protected, but that's not necessarily true. And so we see that rising to the top of the list as part of a corporate security strategy, right? Mm-hmm. But not all immutable storage solutions are the same. And so from your perspective, what constitutes true immutability?
Oh, this is a good question. So we believe, well, first of all, I believe that S3 object storage is the key to true data security because it ensures the data is always saved and stored securely every time it's updated. This means that even the tiniest changes are immediately saved, make it possible to retrieve data from any moment. It's like, think of it like having an insurance policy against a ransomware attack. So being able to quickly restore data from a secure backup can make all the difference in stopping a ransomware attack from succeeding, Demetrius.
Nice. And so you sit more on the storage side. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Give me a rundown on how your solution works.
So Scality provides a storage software solution. They run on any Linux standard x86 server. So most of our customers will have us running on things like HPE, Dell, Cisco, Supermicro, and other ones. As a storage software solution, we are the one that is protecting the data, is storing the data, and distributing the data. In the case, if we focus on ransomware, we make sure that your data is protected across what we call the core five capabilities that any storage solution needs to have, being protected at a data path, at the network path, at the storage, providing DR, and also being able to log that operating system. So we are that storage solution that a lot of the industries, it could be from big enterprises all the way to mid-market commercial service providers and or federal local governments are using to store and protect their data, unstructured data.
Okay, so unstructured data, and what about structured data? Is it not from that perspective as well, from a database perspective?
So we focus on unstructured. We focus on probably the 80% of the data the most industry will have. It tends to be unstructured. So think about documents, images, backups, and others.
Yeah, and it probably wouldn't make sense with a database since it's all about columns and rows and being very structured, and it's very picky about the type of storage that it needs to be on in order to perform optimally. And so let's dive a little bit deeper into immutable storage. And from what I understand is that all immutability is not built the same. And sometimes, depending on the type of immutability, there could still be some type of exposure. Is that true?
That is true, Demetrius. And this is probably one of the most important topics when I have conversations with my partners and customers. And let me explain why. There are different ways to store data. Some keep data safe for only a short time, or they make it tough to get back the original data quickly. Others, they save the data at certain times instead of protecting it from the changes or deletions, protecting it, you know, against changes or deletions. Some other storage solutions are hard to manage. They can handle a lot of the data well and can even slow down over time, which makes restoring data slower too. So this is why, and you see, I have customers that they have that they keep saying this, and partners that are telling me this. Most customers tends to have, you know, complain about backups and storage. They tend to complain about throughput, the performance getting slower. Mm-hmm. They tend to talk about that they cannot scale. The more they scale, performance goes plateau or goes down. And, you know, they're trying to do a restore and it takes forever. So this is why it's crucial for IT to pick the right storage solution and check for any of those weaknesses in their chosen solution, because there are differences. There are big differences that I just mentioned.
Yeah, the recovery or the restore is obviously the main point and reason as to why organizations, big, large, small, right, are backing up the data in the first place, is for the moment when there's an accident, or in unfortunately in today's case, it's all around recovery from ransomware and malware and all different types of attacks. And we're in the age of artificial intelligence. And so now we're dealing with deep fakes and more advanced phishing attacks. And it's getting a lot more scarier out there.
Yeah, it's not if it's going to happen, right? It's when.
Yeah, yeah. It's when it's going to happen. And I was just looking at another healthcare organization, child company under United Healthcare. They were breached, and I just read they spent $8+ million, and they paid the ransom. So I don't know if that ransom payment is also a part of that $800+ million just after the breach, and these are things that they paid in order to recover from that actual event as well. And I also read that the attackers breached the system and then they were there maybe 10, 15, 20 plus days before anyone even knew that something happened. And so I think that's the importance as to why alerting and reporting is also very, very important as well. Now, I want to ask you, who are you having these conversations with? Are you having more of these at the lower level from a backup, a storage administrator, or from a top level type position like a CISO?
So we are doing both. And also, like, let me tell you, CISO, we're having conversations with CISO. I'm personally having conversations with CISOs. I'm having conversations with a lot of, like, the director of infrastructure, the director of IT, especially when they're looking for new solutions because of ransomware attacks. I'm having conversations with the people who lead the backup team. So, mm-hmm. you know, in a lot of these institutions, you have the infrastructure folks, and then you have your data protection and recovery
operations.
Team. So I'm definitely having conversations with both. And also I'm having conversations with the partners, mm-hmm. with the companies that those industries are using to provide this solution and provide architectures that we allow them to be secure across all the different layers within an infrastructure.
Okay. And I know I mentioned AI and artificial intelligence. Do you see AI having a positive effect or negative effect as it pertains to just cybersecurity and storage overall?
I think it goes both ways, and it hopefully you will understand. It will depend on who uses it, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So from the AI perspective, in a positive way, I see that the AI will be able to provide a lot of efficiency on the way you will be able to analyze the data, mm-hmm. and being able to see within those log files, as an example, and things like that, what's happening, like fraud alerts and so on. I think the AI can definitely provide a lot of efficiency in the way we see the data, the way we treat the data, the way we can compare the data, unstructured data across a lot of this infrastructure. In a negative way, I also can see AI, that by utilizing AI, you will be able, is going to provide more it's going to make it probably a little easier for some bad actors to utilize AI to be able to attack your system and be able to do some things within your system, because they will definitely will have more data.
Right. Yeah. I am definitely seeing that as well in some of the conversations that I am having with lower level, like storage practitioner, right? So storage administrators, yes. Backup administrators have lots of conversations from that perspective. And also just overall from a cybersecurity perspective and, you know, DevSecOps and DevOps around automation and automating some of these, yes. some of these workloads as well. And making sure the APIs are all secured. Now let's talk about an overall data protection strategy and modernizing your data protection strategy, because we're not operating in the old days. Like you used to have tape backups and everyone sent everything mm-hmm. to storage. And then we made a copy to tape, and then Iron Mountain came and took those tapes off site. And that's all you had to worry about. What about today, right? Newer companies that are maybe just running workloads in the cloud native workloads, and maybe have a lot of SaaS products as well. But what can Gumbo listeners do to further modernize their data protection strategies to kind of help from some of those bad things out there?
By the way, just to go back to your point before I answer that, there's mm-hmm. still customers using tape.
I know, yeah.
They're still using tape, and sometimes, and I get why they're doing it, but it goes back to not if, it's when. Is how long it will, first of all, how long it will take you to be able to go back to business when a ransomware attack happens if all your data is in tape.
Right.
This reminds me of, I don't know, I don't have any intel what happened last year with MGM, as mm-hmm. an example, mm-hmm. with that attack. But I ask myself, if it took you 10 days to restore that data, that's what we know. I think that you know, keep me on. I don't know. I think mm-hmm. if I remember correctly, it took them 10 days in the amount of money that they lost. I'm like, where was that data? Where was all those applications? And I was thinking, was it tape? And it took them that long? But I don't know. But in some cases, that's the same. And even if you can, anyhow, you trigger something on me when you mention tape. So this is, so let's talk about modernizing. How they can modernize their infrastructure. I believe, so I always talk about four main steps if they want to, you know, when they're ready to do so. Mm-hmm. The number one is make sure that your infrastructure has what I call an instant data, which once set up, it will log data instantly. It will become unchangeable. It will ensure immediate immutability compared to delayed snapshot. That's what typically some of our customers, some people are using. So the number one, make sure that your storage solution has an instant data lock mechanism. Okay. Number two, make sure that it has a permanent data protection. And let me explain this. Mm-hmm. Object storage, the nature of object storage natively ensures a constant data safety by never deleting or overwriting the data. That's object storage. Like if you go to what object storage is, it provides you that scalability, provides you that performance, it provides you that flat namespace, but it also provides you a native storage solution that creates new version while preserving the original copy. So just make sure that your solution has that. Number three, and let's talk about, you know, some people talk about air gap. Some mm-hmm. people still use tape. Some people think that they are protected because they're using air gap. And in honesty, mm-hmm. that is not true.
Right.
So if we want to talk about modern ways, the industry standard way to make your data immutable and protected right now is the AWS S3 Object Lock API. As of right now, that is the industry standard way to make sure that they will provide immutability to your data. That is the new way to do air gapping. Let's just put it that way. Okay. This is crucial immutability for your business application. Business applications could be your backup application. So you have to make sure that the application that you're doing, and we're focusing on backup application, is using that those APIs, and they're compatible with those AWS S3 Object Log API. At the same time, make sure that your object storage solution also supports that. So you have the best of both worlds. You are making your backups immutable at the data path, and you're making your backups immutable at the storage layer as well. So full data immutability. And lastly, and this is super important depending on your industry, make sure that it has a flexible data retention mechanism in which you will be able to customize retention policies that will allow your business to determine how long their data remains immutable. It could be days, it could be years, so you can control that. And expand that, like if you're a financial institution and you have to follow the SEC 1784, or you're a healthcare provider and you have to follow HIPAA compliance. So this provides you flexibility for you to use different types of compliance mode, like governance mode, like compliance mode. And for financial institution, legal hold. So first thing, just a quick instant data lock. Make sure it has a permanent data protection. Is compatible with the industry standard way to provide immutability. And lastly, it provides you that flexibility in data retention and protection.
Yeah. Wow. You covered everything on that response right there. And so whatever is comparable to AWS Object Lock, so in Google Cloud, the same feature, right? Or Microsoft Azure, that feature as well. I'm sure they have features to provide that capability and to provide that immutability aspect to make sure that data is can be not changed or deleted once that feature is enabled. And just to mention tape again, like tape, I'm really impressed with the progression of tape because I used to be a backup administrator and I remember when tapes were really slow. And as far as storage and containing, holding, and compressing data, it wasn't that impressive back, you know, I don't want to say how old I am, but hopefully I look a little younger than what my age shows. So yeah, now I think we're up to LTO 9 or 10, if I am not mistaken. And so I was around when it was LTO 1, LTO 2, and 3. So yeah. That's a long time.
You're talking about the digits.
Yeah, I know, right? So yeah, and the way we used to do disaster recovery tests, because that's also important, is making sure that you are testing and you are making sure that you can recover, and you're testing and rehearsing and even automating a lot of this, because once ransomware hits, things are going to get very stressful. Okay.
Yes.
So any final shout out that you would like to leave for the Gumbo listeners before we end here?
And to add to what you just said, I saw the other day a report on this one. Mm-hmm. I think last year in 2020, the Internet Crime Complaint Center received 2,800 ransomware complaints, resulting in nearly 60 million in losses. And that's what we know, by the way. That's what they're telling us. I'm sorry. Who knows how much more that we just don't know. So so we know that with ransomware attacks on the rise and evolving, hence AI and other mechanisms that they're using, going back to this, it's not a matter of if will occur, but when.
Right.
So please make sure if you're looking for a new backup storage solution, prioritize in immutability, true immutability, that true immutability and speed, so you can have an effective restoration post attack. Those are the two things I will say. make sure you have true immutability. When something happens, you will be able, you know, the data is not going to be deleted or modified by an actor. But even if that happened, make sure that you have a solution that you will be to, you will be able to restore fast. The last thing that I'm going to say is exactly what you're saying. Please test your DR plan. Test your restoration. I know some people, some customers are adding, putting data in the cloud, mm-hmm. and maybe they don't want to test restores because of the egress fee, but do so. You need to do so because you need to understand how long it's going to take you to come back to 100% business again. So make sure you get immutability. Make sure you get the speed that you need.
Okay. Well, that's well said. And this is not about trying to sell anyone any feature. This is actually about making sure that the business stays around, and as a consumer, as a personal consumer, just making sure that we all stay safe and that our data is not a part of a new breach. And sometimes we can't help it because we're just doing what we do on a daily basis, and breach happens and our data is exposed with 10 plus 20 million other people, and that data is sold on the dark web. And so it's just about, you know, being able to make sure that we're doing our parts as well, just overall from a personal perspective. So Candida, I appreciate you being a guest on and sharing some of your insights as well. And before I let everyone go, I want to let any new listener out there to check out the Backup and Recovery Professionals LinkedIn group that I run. There's about 26,000 individuals having similar conversations to the ones that we are right here on Data Protection Gumbo. So thank you once again, Candida, and look forward to maybe having this conversation again in the future.
Definitely. Thanks.